Because I am extemporizing, and I have no other, I'll have no other copy of this talk because I didn't write it down. I'm going to be recording myself, so be aware that you're being recorded if you make any noise. Okay.
No heckling.
What's that?
No heckling.
No heckling. Oh, well, you know. All right. Good morning, everyone. So I thought about the different ways I could do this. I could either talk about the epistle or I could talk about the gospel for today. The epistle obviously mentions this guy Emmanuel, who was who was taken as a hostage, or there was a person who was taken as a hostage, and it fitted into a in the Jewish thing, it fitted into this prophecy about Emmanuel. And so this hostage was likened to Jesus as a hostage for humanity, as in someone who redeems humanity by being taken hostage to this world for a period of time. So that's the idea of Jesus being born in the world, and that's what the meaning of Emmanuel is. But I'm not going to get into that because that's pretty boring, really. I mean, you can go very deep with it, and we don't have time. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to the gospel, which is, of course, the first verses of John, the very first verses of John. And this is a really important, the first chapter of John is very, very important because it's often badly understood. It's often used as a justification for certain things that it really shouldn't be used for. So I'm going to go through it, not quite line by line, but pretty close. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What's this Word thing? What is this Word that is in the beginning? So this is the idea of speaking forth things into existence, which is just a reference to Genesis. So we can go deeper into it. We can talk about the Logos, and we can talk about a few other things. But the main idea from a Jewish perspective, and remember that this gospel was written primarily for people who were either wanting to be Jews and hoping to be Jews of a certain kind, and also it came out of that Jewish tradition. So it's this idea that you speak forth things into existence. And God in particular, one of God's powers, one of God's very divine powers, is this speaking forth. So so in the way Genesis is written, it says God said something, and so God said something. God said, "Let there be light," let there be light. That's actually how it's written. So God said, "Light," light. And so the speaking of light produces light. And that's the poetic way that in Hebrew it's done. Right. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that comes back to this idea that you speak, that not you, but God speaks forth that which is into existence. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now this is going into a new idea. And that is this idea of life. And life can be likened to an aspect of the Holy Spirit. So it's this Word has taken on some of the Holy Spirit and converted it over to a special kind of Holy Spirit, the Word part of the Holy Spirit. So if there's originally nothingness, everything, or Ein Sof, or whatever you want to call it, if there's originally this nothing everything at the beginning, and then God moves, that nothing everything moves, it immediately splits into Father, Son, and Spirit. But as it does that, it hasn't really split. These are just the three different aspects. And the Word part, the Son part, takes into itself the aspects of the other two. So the Son of God has God the Father in God, and also God the Spirit in God. And that's basically what this is saying. The life, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, that's interesting, because that's saying that In him was life, and that life was the light of us. It's not saying the light of just a few people, it's everyone. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So that Christ light shines in the darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is, you view it different ways. You view it as darkness, as in the darkness before everything was created, darkness before the light that was created. Or you can think of it as this world of darkness. This is the world of death after Genesis later on. This is where Adam and Eve end up. This is the world of death, the world of darkness. Or you can think of it as your interior space. Your interior self is darkness. And for most of us, or most people that are unaware of the light within, we don't comprehend that light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John is an interesting idea because it has two meanings. In this case, they're referring to Johanna, but there's also another version of John, and so you're meant to understand that this is also another there's another understanding here, which is the feminine version of John, which is Yona. And Yona is Iona, as in the island of Iona, but it means dove. So there's John, which is grace of God, and there's John, which is the dove of God. And you're meant to see the double meanings there if you're a Jewish person and you know Hebrew. And of course, none of us are, but we can learn these things. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So John came to tell everybody about the word. He wasn't the light. He came to tell everybody about the light that through John all men might believe. So he was able to see the light where other people were not able to see the light, and he came to tell them about it that they might believe. And he acknowledges he's not the light, he's just coming to tell about it. That was the true light which lighteth every man coming into the world. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean that when you come into the world, you're lit by some guy called Jesus. This is the way often it's interpreted. There's a guy called Jesus who lights you up. And Jesus is over there, and you're over here. And when you've come into the world, Jesus is lighting you up. You can't see Jesus, but he's apparently lighting you up, and he's somewhere over there, or he's somewhere up there, or he's somewhere down, wherever he is. But that's not really what this is saying. What this is really saying, well, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, was that this light lighteth every man coming into the world. That means you're already lit by that light because that's your life. Your life is that light. You can't see it, you can't comprehend it, or you haven't comprehended it, but it is already in you. So it's already lit you up. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that's exactly what I'm saying. He's in you. You are in the world. He's in you. He's in the world. The world is the world of the original Greek here is cosmos, which doesn't it means order. It doesn't necessarily mean the planet Earth. It means the order in which you find yourself. That's the world. And so we are all together. We are the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That order didn't know him. That means all of us together didn't know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came into us, that we are his own, after all, and we didn't receive him. That means we didn't even notice him. We didn't even see, didn't even realize he was there. Didn't realize that Jesus was, that Christ was or the word or the light was within us. So we didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to him he gave gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So to those that received the light, if you receive the light, in other words, if you recognize the light within you, you're already, you've already been given the power of being a son of God. Even if you just even if you don't see it, but you just believe on his name. Now, believe on his name. What's his name? Well, later on we find out that his name is Jesus. Yeshua, or Yehoshua, depending on how you do it. It means Savior. So just believing in the Savior, that's what believing on his name means, even to them that believe in the Savior, they have become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it has nothing to do with your desires, has nothing to do with your strength of will, has nothing to do with your upbringing, has nothing to do with who bore you, what lineage you came from. That's what not born of blood means. But in other words, anybody, because anyone who has this light within, and we all have it within, we're all from God, so we're all born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So in other words, he's just reiterating the thing that we've already said. The light comes into us, and here we are. The Word was made flesh. Well, there you are. You are the Word made flesh. You are. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And of course, there's a special version, the one we call Jesus today, although he would not have been called Jesus when he was actually alive. The one we call Jesus today, he was the special one that we beheld his glory, the glory as of, and it says here the only begotten Son, but that's actually a bad translation. It should be the alone born, meaning born of one parent rather than only begotten. Because clearly he can't be only begotten, because if we're all sons of God, then he clearly cannot be only begotten. So it actually means born of one parent. The glory as of the alone born of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there's reasons why it has to be alone born, which I'm not going to get into, but it has to do with what the word actually means in Greek. Okay, so that's my little explanation of the gospel, which I think, hopefully that... Let's see, how long have I gone for? Oh my goodness. It's way too long. All right, so thank you very much for your attention, for listening to my little lesson. And thank you for being with us today. Have a lovely octave of the Nativity. And we will continue with the service forthwith. Thank you for your attention.